Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 18th of January, Anno Domini 2014. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. And you don't have to pay dues, although we would love you to become a member of the station.
Oh, definitely, anytime.
All right, let's start with the big news item of the week for pretty much everybody. President Barack Obama banned U.S. eavesdropping on the leaders of close friends and allies on Friday and began reining in the vast collection of America's phone data in a series of reforms triggered by Edward Snowden's revelations. In a major speech, Obama took steps to reassure Americans and foreigners alike that the United States will take into account privacy concerns highlighted by former spy contractor Snowden's damaging disclosures about the sweep of monitoring activities of the National Security Agency. The reforms I'm proposing today should give the American people greater confidence that their rights are being protected, even as our intelligence and law enforcement agencies maintain the tools they need to keep us safe, he said. While the address was designed to fend off concerns that the U.S. surveillance has gone too far, Obama's measures were relatively limited. Even as the White House put the final touches on the reform plan this week, media outlets reported that the NSA gathered nearly 200 million text messages every day from around the world and has put software in almost 100,000 computers, allowing it to spy on those devices. Obama promised that the United States will not eavesdrop on the heads of state or government of close U.S. friends and allies. A senior administration official said that would apply to dozens of leaders. The step was designed to smooth over frayed relations between, for example, the United States and Germany, after a report surfaced last year that the NSA had monitored the mobile phone of German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff postponed a state visit to Washington in protest at the NSA spying on her email and cell phone. The leaders of our close friends and allies deserve to know that if I want to learn what they think about an issue, I will pick up the phone and call them rather than turning to surveillance, Obama said. Still, he said, U.S. intelligence will continue to gather information about the intentions of other governments and will not apologize simply because U.S. spy services are more effective. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Obama announces reforms to NSA phone surveillance. And the choices are, great job, Barack, nice start, but not enough, meh, and what a crock, Barack. And so far, we've got 28 people who have voted. Most of you, of course, have said it's what a crock. And I know you will have more to say about this. And so you can go to our poll of the week at soundbites.org. Just go to the forums. Down the right-hand column, you'll see fascinating stuff. First thing in it is the forum. And the one you want is 18 Jan 14. Obama announces reforms to NSA phone surveillance. And listen, people, I've put the rules in the post. Let's not descend into the infantile argle-bargle that typifies so much political discussion on the internet. Let's stick to the topic at hand, NSA reforms. I will simply delete posts that...
they're getting a little crazy.
Get a little crazy. Because I know everybody's got a theory and...
Well, like they say, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one.
And most of them are full of lint.
Yeah. Oh!
And we don't necessarily want to see it.
Oh, that brings up a bad story for me.
No, don't go there.
No, I won't.
Wherever you were going, don't go there.
No. Matter of fact, that whole story that, you know, they're going to do all that stuff, it's like, really?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, the big thing, and I've said this before, the big thing is that what Snowden has done has shined a light on things that may or may not deserve a light shone on them.
True.
Some of each.
Yes.
Some of each.
Good point.
Yeah. And
we want surveillance on the bad guys.
Always.
But we don't know who the bad guys are unless we surveil everybody.
Well, and that right. And that's one of the problems that that we have, which is
how do you tell the bad guys?
Right. And who do you define a bad guy?
Excuse me. They don't wear signs. They don't go around taking out advertisements.
Right. Yep. Right. So I get it. I do get it. And other countries also have the right to say, don't tase me, bro. You know, it's not, we're a separate sovereign nation. Your laws don't apply to us.
Yep.
So we'll see, I guess. and of course, you'll have something to say about it. So give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Okay, just like Carl did from Pottstown, PA. Welcome, Carl. What's up?
How you doing?
Peachy, how are you? How's the weather down there?
Oh, it's pretty good. I haven't been outside yet, but I think it's okay.
If you can see...
Yeah, I could drive a semi through that statement.
If you can see out your windows, the weather's okay. The snow hasn't covered them yet.
He doesn't know if he has a shovel or not, is what he's saying.
That's exactly right.
What can we do to make
you a happier man?
And I was wondering about something. Where I work, we have an employee who streams internet audio through a portable device, I believe it's a Nexus, using the company's Wi-Fi, and simply plugs a pair of headphones into it and listens to their favorite radio station. And I would like to do the same thing with a portable device, but I don't have one. I'm just wondering if you could recommend the least expensive portable device that I could use to stream internet audio the way this other employee does at work.
Do you happen to have an old smartphone?
I do not.
Okay. That's the cheapest, because...
yeah, really.
Okay, wow.
Well, no, the iPod Touch at $199 would do it.
There, you know what? A couple of things you can try. There are lots and lots of deal-a-day places. Son of a pup on a stick. Every 2 minutes, Google signs me out.
They're not sure you are you?
Apparently they are not. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. There are a bunch of deal-a-day places, and many of them have off-brand...
usually Android
tablets. ...players for a few bucks.
But it needs to be a higher-end model that can take apps, including... You know, like a Shoutcast client or whatever internet radio, Pandora client, whatever internet radio you're looking for.
You have to get one that's low-priced enough that it can fit into your budget, and yet high-priced enough that it can take apps like, or comes with, something like Pandora or any one of a dozen, TuneIn, any one of a hundred of those. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'll have to look around.
There are, golly, Ned, there are hundreds of them. And, of course, I don't have them on this machine. I got about 15 of them.
When even looking on you know, like Craigslist locally for an old smartphone that you can buy, and then don't turn the cellular on.
Right.
Just use it as Wi-Fi. Or even
that
a previous...
That's going to be another question.
Yeah, previous generation.
Is it possible to get a cell phone and just not pay for the cell phone service? You can't use it as a cell phone,
right?
Which I really don't need.
That's
so
what I
just
do.
Use it for internet,
and that's basically the iPod Touch on the Apple
exactly.
side. It's basically the cell phone without the phone in it,
right? And I've got an old cell phone that when I upgraded to my new phone, I kept the old phone, turned off cellular. Essentially, I put it in airplane mode and then turned on Wi-Fi. And now I carry it's my iPod. I call it. I carry it around and stream radio all day long on it.
Why not? I was going to say, why not look on Craigslist for maybe a used iTouch? I mean, nobody, you know, probably you could get it dirt cheap. Somebody's got one laying around.
Right.
Especially an older generation, because you don't need the latest models to run.
I mean, just to be able to, you know, get the apps and put it on there, that would be
assuming
the
it's
best.
New enough to be able to get the latest
Pandora app or iHeartRadio app.
Version 2?
Well, probably a third generation or fourth generation if you can find it. Okay, yeah. The fifth generation is the current iPod Touch at $199 new.
Right, but we also see these all the time. You go into these pretty much any store like Best Buy, but any of these stores, and you can buy a smartphone. Track Phone has them. All kinds of places have them. And you pay as you go for cellular. Well, just don't pay for the cellular. Get the $100 phone and make sure it does Wi-Fi, and you're done.
Or ask somebody or ask around if anybody's got an old phone that they're not using anymore that want to sell it, say, for $50.
Right. I'm sure Craigslist has.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a few different options there.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck.
Bye-bye.
I'll tell you what, I listen to mine all the time.
I keep finding all the set-top, the tabletop boxes, the Sonos box and the Roku box, the Squeeze box, and I'm searching for portable player. Okay, yeah, you can get a Sonos wireless streaming system and move it around your house, but that's not really what I want.
Yeah. Right, but I'll bet you somebody on Craigslist is selling an old phone. More than likely, he has 10 friends who've all got a phone sitting in a drawer somewhere.
Well, I had to explain to somebody, a certain individual, that you know their internet within the company is blocked from going to, say, Facebook places and everything else. And they were saying, well, no, they want to do it over the company Wi-Fi. That's the same network, and if they got it blocked on one, because right. Even though you're doing it wirelessly, hello, it's still the same network and can't do it.
And if you are thinking about doing this at work, you might want to check with someone at work to see if it's okay that you use the company's bandwidth.
Yeah, well,
audio streaming is very small, but you're still using the company's bandwidth.
Our place blocked it. They put it, because a number of folks, they were... banned, you know, like Pandora and a lot of the others.
Yeah, Pandora, Spotify, Moog.
All those have been blocked now because, again, like you say, we've got other folks coming in because that's the big thing now is pushing their apps for like the pros and the home users. That they've got the app that you can put it on your phone. If you want to look for something, you can come in and depending on the store, it tells you what aisle and where it is and will lead you right to it.
Yep.
And we've got the apps on our phones. If somebody asks, we can, pull it up. Yeah, it's right on over here.
Yep. Let me just break in for 1 second. Jerry, please mute your microphone. I don't know what happened on stinking Google Hangout here. I'm trying. I have no anything. I can't put my name up. I can't bring up chat. I can't do any of that stuff. So I can't control anybody. I don't know what the heck's going on.
I got to tell you, I heard, two things. One, I had one customer call. He was having problems with his computer.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do. You know, I gave him some things to do. He said, I don't know if I can do that. I'll see if I can get some help. I said, all right, well, let me know. Called him back a couple days later. How'd you make out? Now, this guy is 43, 44 years old. Okay. Not a dummy by any mistake. He goes, I couldn't figure the darn thing out. So I got my 8-year-old neighbor to come over and he fixed it.
It's been find a 12-year-old for a while now. You want to get something working, find a 12-year-old.
Yeah. But I heard another joke. And this is a cute one. This one song, because I was listening to the radio and the, this one artist was on, and he goes, and talking a little bit about himself. And he goes, one time he got this call, and it was this, advertiser, wanted to speak to the house, the head of the household.
Right.
So he says, very simple. He just turned it over to his 3-year-old son, and he went back to this football game watching that.
Yep. I've seen people do that. I've seen people do it. My sister-in-law for years in college made a living as a cold caller. And so I have a certain sympathy for them, but that sympathy wanes the later in the day it gets, or the earlier in the day it gets.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very limited window while I'll be polite to a cold caller.
We had a customer years ago that owned one of those, you know, cold calling offices, and we were setting up new computer systems for him, and he got a cold call from someone, and when he hung up, he said, "Boy, if that's how my people sound, I'll fire them."
But that's the way it is. I mean, the folks will call you, like you say, during dinner and everything else, and they always get, you know, "Wait a minute, do you mind if I take your number down and I'll call you back?"
Yeah, right.
See, 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Sometimes I just have fun with them. I'll listen to the whole thing. I'll go through it. And then at some point, they'll say, "I need an address and I need a credit card number," or whatever. I'll go, "Oh, no, I'm not allowed to have credit cards. They won't let me have a credit card. No, no, no. You mean I have to have a credit card for this? Well, that's very disappointing. I'm angry now. I'm really angry now. What's your name? I'm angry."
Yeah.
Well, I like the one where they start getting, you know, where they're calling saying that you can get a credit card, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they go, "Really? I didn't know I could have one here in jail."
Right. Yep. I knew
really?
That.
"Wow, they won't let me have credit cards and you're going to just give me one?
Well, the commissary's
great."
Yeah. I knew a guy that would turn it around on them and, "Oh, you're the 25th caller. You've won a fabulous brand new vacation." And it'd string them on forever, get their name and button, and they'd completely forget why they called.
You know how you get off the phone with those folks real easily? I'll tell you when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 22 minutes after the hour. It's the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 27 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we get too far along, let me say to Carl down in Pottstown, I went to Amazon, typed in Android MP3 player with Wi-Fi, which is pretty much what you're looking for, priced it from low to high, and a company called Craig has one new for $25.
Don't get much cheaper than that.
Used for $31. I don't know. Kobe has 4 or 5 of them out here. Mach Speed, Arcos has one for $65.
Arcos. I knew there were two lower end brands I was trying to remember, and I couldn't. Arcos and Colby.
Right.
But they're lower end tablets. They don't do everything that the newer tablets do. Most of these are 4 gigs of storage, but you don't even need that much to download a Pandora player.
Right. If all you want is to be able to stream digital music, there's some pretty decent. I mean, you don't, like you said, you don't need much. It's going to be really disappointing as an Android tablet or Android device.
Yep.
But as just an MP3 streamer, no problems at all. No problems at all. So there's a choice. Now, before we get back to the phones, I know we've got a couple people holding. This is important. Microsoft announced on Thursday that it will continue to provide updates to its security products for Windows XP users through July 14th, 2015. Previously, the company said it would halt all updates in the same day as the end of support date for Windows XP, which is April 8th, 2014. Now, let's be clear. For consumers, this means Microsoft Security Essentials will continue to get updates after support ends for Windows XP. But support will still end for Windows XP. There will be no updates to the operating system, only updates to Security Essentials, which is essentially the same thing as getting updates for Avast or AVG or any one of the others. The any vulnerabilities that are found in the operating system itself remain, and there will always be a window between that vulnerability being found and an antivirus or anti-malware program closing it up. Actually blocking it, not closing it up. That hole will always be there. For enterprise customers, the same goes from System Center Endpoint Protection, Forefront Client Security, Forefront Endpoint Protection, Windows Intune, all of that stuff running on Windows XP. The company is providing updates to its security products for an additional 15 months. So it's no longer a supported operating system come April 8th. But there will be a limited amount, sort of a partial protection, until next July. Microsoft is in a really tricky situation here. On the one hand, it needs to push customers and businesses off of Windows XP to more secure products. Best way to do that is to stick to its end of support date. On the other hand, there are still so many millions of Windows XP users out there that leaving them completely vulnerable could cause more harm than good. Windows XP is over 12 years old.
Do you remember the original Windows XP end-of-life date?
No.
It'd be interesting to see how many times they've extended it. At least three that I can remember.
Yes, exactly, but I don't remember what it originally was. So, are you planning to stay on XP with no protection? Because that's the way it works. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And don't forget, that also means that many companies will stop providing support for their products on Windows XP. So if you've still got Windows XP and you have a problem with a program, even if you've paid for support, when you call them, they are perfectly legitimate right to say, I'm sorry, this product is no longer, this operating system is no longer supported. We cannot support this product on that operating system. Time to move on from XP. Sorry, get over it. Our next caller, Ernesto from Perrington, New York. Welcome, Ernesto. What's up?
Hey, guys. I have a couple of questions. Number one, the event viewer I was looking at the other day, and it had like 10,000 warnings, error, critical. Do I need to worry about that? Is there any way to avoid these notations? And should I do anything about it outside of taking it to some kind of guru to fix it?
Yeah, in terms of warnings, there are billions of them every day. Anything that's just a warning, if you want to look at it, go ahead. But you'll get a warning if there's sunspots. You know, warnings are everywhere in Windows. Critical or an error is really something you should pay attention to. What's nice is that in the event viewer, you can filter for those. So you can filter out just the warnings, of which there are a plethora, and only see the actual criticals or errors, the higher-end stuff. And those you should pay a certain amount of attention to.
You usually in that warning box, there's you click on it in the event viewer, and then in the window below that, it will tell you what the actual warning is.
Right, exactly. And when you get those, feel free to read through them once or twice. What you'll find is that many of them are very temporary conditions. You get a lot of paging errors, which means two programs are both trying to write to the disk at the same time, and one of them has to wait. But you will get all kinds of little errors and things. What you need to do is pay attention to the critical ones.
And if you don't understand what the error is, then
talk to a professional.
Talk to a professional, right. or Google the error message and
or
see
become
what
a professional. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, what about multiple antivirus or spyware and malware products on a machine? Is that okay?
No. Well, having them on the machine is okay. Running them simultaneously is not such a good idea.
Yeah, you don't want them all running at once because you're...
They'll fight each other. Yeah. Each one will see the other one potentially as a
virus.
Problem.
And what that does is, these days, machines are fast enough that any one antivirus program isn't really going to slow your machine down much. But if two, three, or four of them are running simultaneously and they're all trying to get to the same set of files... then you start running into some real issues.
And that's usually why we recommend having one major antivirus suite running, like Avast or AVG. And then in the occasional times when you suspect problems, or just every once in a while, run the Malware Bytes and Super Anti-Spyware on a one-off basis.
So, yeah, well, because that's what I'm saying. So you can just have them to run when you need it.
Right, exactly. You can have as many as you want on your hard drive at once. That's not an issue. It's what you're running now that counts.
Okay. And one more question.
Sure.
Windows Defender, do you have any ideas that? And they said 8.1 has an antivirus or malware built in. You know anything about that?
Didn't they replace Windows Defender with Security Essentials?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's happened is this. When Windows Defender first came out, it was actually a pretty good product. They have not kept up.
Yeah, well, duh. That's the...
Well, they just have not kept
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but and that's the typical thing for Microsoft. They've ran... I'm sorry. They have created their own worst enemy within themselves in that they bring something out and the support for it, politely saying, sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would not personally use Windows Defender. Let me just put it that way. Yeah.
Okay.
Same here.
And then because I went to Microsoft because somebody was calling me that I was messing up everybody else's internet and that I had to pay $200 for them to fix my thing. And I said,
that's a scam.
From Microsoft. And then I said, no, wait a minute. I'll call Microsoft myself. And that was bogus. So that was a scam.
Yeah. I was born at night, just not last night.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Microsoft ran a Hitman Pro program on my machine, and you could buy it also. I don't know. You guys know anything about Hitman Pro?
I have not used Hitman Pro.
No,
it's supposed to be pretty good. I just have never used it.
Okay,
and part of it is also understanding.
But I could have multiple ones and run them individually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Don't have them all running at the same time either. Some of them like to run as TSRs.
Right. And also remember that whatever one you're normally running in the background all the time, you have to turn that off if you're going to run another one.
Let me explain, because a lot of folks have lost, don't even know what the term TSR stands for. TSR stands for Terminate and Stay Resident. And basically what it is the program will start up, and then it's down over in the lower right-hand corner of your toolbar. Now, sometimes you can have a lot of things there running, but you never go down there and check. And I had one client running two different spyware programs at the same time, or at least attempting to run, and was wondering why it was taking so long for the machine to load or run programs. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you got two conflicting, like Steve said, two conflicting spyware programs trying to do the same thing, and depending on whose database is out of whack, as far as updates, one could fight the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So one is fine running at one time.
How do I know which one is running?
Well, you can click down there in the lower right-hand corner and see what's running as far as your taskbar.
Okay.
That taskbar will tell you the things that are currently...
All the little icons next to the clock are running programs. We sometimes call them faceless programs because they don't show up in your task switcher when you're switching between apps because they're just running in the background.
Uh-huh.
So you point to each one of those icons and it will tell you what that icon is to see what it is and if you're running too many things at once.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Bye-bye.
Just let me remind you that in the next segment, not this segment, but in the next segment, we have a giveaway. Our friends at Frag Repairs are giving away a PC cleanup, so stay tuned for that. Listen for that. We'll be doing that after the next Underwriter break, and we'll talk about that then. So, but hang on. And we'll talk about that a little later. Right now, I suspect we're about to take a break. Yes, we are. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes.
You're good.
I am good. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and proud to be right here on a truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Now, we are going to go to John from Hilton on the line, but don't anybody else call in, because after John, we're going to hold the contest. So let's go to John from Hilton. Welcome, John. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I have a comment and a question.
Go for it.
I listened to streaming audio off a... toy FM transmitter I bought at Radio Shack about 20 years ago for $10.
Nice.
It had a six-inch piece of wire on it as an antenna. I added another foot onto it, and I can pick up the signal clearly anywhere in the house. And if I use a FM Sony Walkman outside, up to about 30 or 40 feet. So that's how I listen to it.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. So if you can get a hold of a FM transmitter, it works.
Sure.
The question is regarding streaming video.
Yeah.
Is there a point of diminishing returns based on Time Warner's download speed regarding, you know, hardware like video card, processor speed?
Well, it's not Time Warner. It's everybody. Any internet service provider. The speed at which you can download determines how fast you get your video, and with that, you now have multiple choices. For example, on YouTube, you can pick your quality, 360p, 480p, 720p, 1080p. If you find yourself buffering, then lower the quality.
Or buy faster internet.
But often, the problem is not necessarily local.
Right. It may not be you. It may be the other end.
Right.
And anywhere in between.
It's rarely going to be YouTube, because God knows Google puts enough computers back there to make that a thing. But who's in between you and YouTube? Right, you might have Time Warner or Frontier or Greenlight or one of those, but then who's the next person upstream and the next person upstream? Because it's a series of links between you and the other end. Any one of those links could be slow at any given time of the day. The other problem you have with something like Time Warner is that you're on a shared connection. So there will be certain times of the day, for example, 2 a.m., when you basically own the internet, but at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, you're sharing it with another 150 people, 200 people, however many they put in a head, and they really shouldn't put more than 100, but they often do. You'll find that at different times of the day, you will get different results at the same quality of video. So you just need to know that you can lower that quality to make the experience a little more streamlined, but at a slightly lower video quality.
Well, I have a 3-year-old computer, and you know it's Windows 7. I got a 6 gigabytes of RAM, and I'm using an old video card with 512 megabytes of DDR2 RAM on it, and I watched high definition video, and it's pretty decent. I was just wondering, I mean, would I be wasting my money getting a 2 gigabyte card? And you know what I'm saying?
Well, just to watch internet video, yes, you'd probably be wasting your money.
Now if you're also doing 3D gaming or 3D modeling,
that sort of stuff, then no, you're not. But or watching DVDs through your computer, that's sort of fair.
Because in that point, your computer has to decode and decompress the video coming off the disk.
Right. But in general, you're not going to be watching 1080p video through YouTube anyway.
I just did a trace route to YouTube, and it's at 17 hops and still coming.
Yeah.
And so if you're familiar with the trace route program on your computer, When you tell your computer to go to a website, it goes through a whole bunch of other computers along the way to get to the other end. Actually goes through routers, and you can see how many routers it has to hop through to get to the other end. So actually, I went through 5 routers before I actually got outside of the school internet system here.
Right.
So any one of those routers along the way can cause a delay in the stream that you're getting and cause that buffering at your end.
Got it. Okay, well,
Okey-doke.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, quick time for contest. Here's the way this contest works. When I say go, you start calling, and we will take caller number 15. Okay. Okay. What the heck? 15.
I'm easy.
Right. And then
I can hang up on 14 very fast. That's
exactly right. Dave will just pick up the phone and say no. And then grab that person. And ready? Steady? Go! What you are contesting for is a PC cleanup from our friends at Frag Repairs. They're located at 1472 Monroe Avenue. Anytime in the next 6 months, you can bring that your computer to the folks at Frag Repairs, and they will perform one free PC cleanup. Now, if you've won anything from this station in the last 30 days, sit on your hands. Give somebody else a chance. You are not eligible for this giveaway. But we will be happy to give it to somebody who hasn't won yet. Well, we have a winner. We have a winner. So please, you can stop calling now. We want to thank everybody, particularly our friends at Frag Repairs. They've done a really nice thing here by supporting this station and in particular supporting this show.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, going the extra mile to have this contest. We think it's great. We're very pleased that they're doing this.
Love having them as an underwriter.
Exactly. And having them sponsor this contest is even bigger for us. So thank you very much, our friends at Frag Computers.
Mm-hmm.
Out there on Monroe Avenue, and you can just, if you're one of the winners, you can bring your computer to them anytime in the next 6 months for a free PC cleanup. We'll send you some information about that, which is why we take your email address, so we can do that, and then you can do that too. So again, thanks to our friends at Frag Computers, if you get an opportunity.
That's one thing folks should realize here at the station. I mean, whenever we take, you know, some of your information, especially emails, I know a lot of folks are worried. Well, yeah. I don't want to give that out because, you know, I don't want to get all this junk mail. Anytime, whether it's for the membership drive or for contests like this, any of your email information that we get along with your personal information stays that personal. We do not compile the list and turn around and offer it to any of our other underwriters or anything else like that. No, it does not go that way. Your privacy is your privacy, and we really treasure that and appreciate that you do give it to us. So in that way, we don't want to disrespect you and say, we're going to pass it out and sell it and make more money on that, which a lot of folks do.
Right. These folks here are very respectful of everybody's privacy, mainly because they have their own privacy concerns. And so they understand it from the other side as well. So
yeah.
We're very, very good about that. So there's no real worries there.
Well, I got into debate. That's the only reason I went off on that tangent with somebody. They always say that, but it's a good way for them to turn around and make additional money because they compile all that. And who's to know? They can always blame it on somebody else. And I go, no. We don't want to, wouldn't want to do something like that.
Right.
It wouldn't want to even be associated with something like that because it'll always come back to bite you in the butt.
When I do this with, I'm on Google for my email.
Mm-hmm.
You can add a plus sign and anything else you want at the end of it, and it'll still get to you. So, your name at gmail.com, right, or whatever it happens to be. You could say your name plus Fred@gmail.com. It'll still come to you, but now it's listed as your name plus Fred.
Okay.
Or your name plus Jazz, or your name plus whatever you want to put. So when I sign up for one of these things, I add that.
Oh, cool.
And I haven't done it in a while. I don't know if it still works, but I'll have to go test it. But I add that, and so now I know if somebody sells my name, I know who sold it. And oh, by the way, now I can make a filter for that one and never see it again.
Again, I wound up using one my older email addresses that I don't go to anymore. Started using that just for a junk mail one because they want you to put one in. It's like you. I've gotten hooked on the Gmail and tie a lot of them to my phone, and they can just come to it. But again, even that, like you were saying, you know, I limit that as far as giving out my one Gmail account because I don't want to be inundated with all these other ads and all this other stuff and, you know, have to filter out all that junk. So I just have that go to one email address, which, yeah, I'll check from time to time, you know, and, yeah, a lot of it's bogus. And I can mark it junk mail and that. So that's what it is because you got to have one. Right. Everybody's got to have one account that they hate giving out because they know they're going to get hit with a lot of stuff.
Well, and you... normally when you're signing up for a new account, they send you an email to verify this is really you. So you go in and look at that message you got just now to verify your new account you just created and then never look at it again.
Yeah, I mean, you can, Gmail, even within Gmail, you can create a bogus account that, like you say, you can use and to verify things and never have to open it up again.
Yep.
But the other ones you keep, whether it's friends and family versus business, and that's the way I separate it. I've got one that I use a lot for, you know, the business and that type of stuff, and then another one for a personal.
Right. And you, it's so easy to open up free accounts now.
Oh, it is. And I mean, especially Google.
Well, and that's, and that makes it hard to block a lot of spam because it's so easy for the bad guys to make accounts. So right. you can block an address, but they're never going to send spam from that address again.
No, I block the incoming address. Right. So for example, if I were like, let's just say nick@gmail.com, which I'm not, by the way. But so I would say nick+jazz@gmail.com. And then if I start getting spam through that, I just block Nick plus jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So I block the incoming address.
Right.
Nice.
It doesn't matter who they sell it to. We want to thank Joan. Or congratulate Joan for winning the frag repairs.
And she also wanted to take you to task. You teased something you haven't done yet. What to do when the telemarketers call you? How to get them off the phone fast?
Oh yeah, what I do. Oh, thank you, Joan. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, we got confused. I got confused. I'm old. I've got two problems. One is bad short-term memory, and the other is bad short-term memory. So here's what I do for telemarketers. When I say, you know, what do you say? They'll say, you know, whatever insurance or whatever, and I'll say, oh no, my sister-in-law sells insurance. And if I want to sleep with both eyes closed, I will go through my sister-in-law.
Yeah, whatever you're selling, I know whatever someone that already sells
me it. Yeah. No, specifically my wife's sister. They're tight.
Yep.
Oh,
and I am not going to go against what my wife wants us to do. I have no choice in the matter. I'm sorry.
That's a good one.
And I, you know what? 99 times out of 100, somebody will say, I completely understand that. Thank you.
And they are, the telemarketers are real people, too. It's usually low-paying jobs, you know, people just trying to make some money, you know, for their family. So don't be rude to them.
I never am rude. Yes. I never am.
No thanks and hang up. You know.
Yeah.
It's a job. They're doing it. You know, God bless them. They're working for a living.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to be arguing with that? They're out there earning a living, and I'm happy for them to do that. But the reality is I don't want to be involved.
It's not
all right. We're going to take a slightly longer break. You have wasted an entire hour of your life listening to this show. But hey, here's the exciting thing. You get to do it again. Because we're going to be back for a whole nother hour, but we're going to take a short break so that you can listen to the generous and wonderful folks who underwrite this station and this show. And we'll be back on the other side of that with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour. Back for a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Running computer show, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And I have this is my favorite news story of the week. which is why I waited till now to read it. I don't know why. Android has a lot of great native features, and one of its best is Google Now, the voice-enabled personal assistant software that aims to give you important information before you even think to ask for it. Google Operating System reports that, and that's a website, that Google has now released a desktop version of Google Now that is integrated into Chrome Canary. Now, Chrome Canary is the bleeding edge version of the Chrome browser. It's designed specifically for early adopters, engineers, anybody who doesn't mind a web browser that crashes every 15 or 20 minutes. For the uninitiated, Google Now uses your search history, location history, and a bunch of other stuff to figure out what information you might need at what time, such as being able to tell users how long their typical commute will be, given current traffic conditions, being able to figure out how long in advance users have to leave for them to make appointments. It'll show you, if it learns that you're interested in specific sports teams, it'll show you the scores, it'll show you the schedule of games. It does an amazing amount of stuff. It's won wide acclaim within the tech world and was named Popular Science's Innovation of the Year in 2012. So how does Google Now work as a desktop browser-based application? Google Operating Systems says if you're signed into Chrome, you'll see a Google Now notification and a list of cards. That's what they call their little list of things that are displayed using Chrome's notification interface in the Windows System Tray or the Mac menu bar. Just look for that little bell icon. Mr. Jingles is his name, and that's his name, Mr. Jingles. Name? Yeah.
Is he related to Clippy?
No, thank heaven. Any Android fan who's interested in seeing what Google Now looks like on the desktop should certainly give it a try, although Google warns that Chrome Canary can sometimes break down completely since it's mostly a Chrome build for more experimental features. However, if you're a phone or tablet user, an Android phone or tablet user, chances are that you've absolutely got Chrome working already. So, have you used Google Now on a phone or a tablet or a browser? What do you think? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Most of you should have us on speed dial by now.
Yeah, really?
But I'll tell you what, Google Now is great. My phone will jingle at me and remind me, you know, if you're going to go to that meeting, you need to leave within the next 5 minutes based on traffic. Yeah, it actually knows where you are, mm-hmm. knows where you're going if you've put that in your appointment, right, on Google Calendar. And it then figures out the best route and how long that route is going to take based on the current traffic pattern.
Cool.
It's so cool.
Well, one of the other things that Google does, and it's been doing it for a while, and that I love, is I listen to one radio station, but they don't always have the titles of the songs or the artist.
Right.
I can't get the information. So I just quick sweep up from my screen and start speaking into it. Listen, name this tune.
Shazam is one of the big ones that does
and,
that.
Well, with Google, I just say, listen, what's the name of this tune? And you see it says listening. And it'll listen for a few seconds. Also, can come back and say that here's the artist and here's the name of that tune. Sit there, write it down. Yep, thank you very much.
Yep.
It saves me from having to go to the web. I know they've got their playlist there and that, and I got to search through it, but it's just handy to have it right there that I can write it down and get it later on.
The newer versions of the phones, like the Moto X, I believe it is always listening for OK Google.
So it's very hard to demo it and talk about that feature without your phone doing something.
Right, right. But if you're demoing it, I suppose you can use that as the demo. Now, when I say OK Google, there it is.
Yep.
And so you can, and it has all kinds of stuff. You know, I can say OK Google, text Elaine mobile, and then put on what it is you want to say. It's very, very cool.
Apple's similar service through Siri on their devices. In fact, there was an interesting story this week. We've known for a long time that Siri makes snarky comments about movies dealing with computers. There's a great one on 2001 about those stupid humans getting in the way of a digital assistant. Well, apparently the new movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, if you ask Siri if she's her or ask her about the movie, she's got some snarky comments, and she, you know, her, I'm not her, and it, she gives an artificial intelligence a bad name, or I don't spend much time with fictional characters. And so Scarlett Johansson has started chiming in and tweeting, you know, what has Siri got against me?
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Walworth, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one is, I know you stream video, you stream for the show. We're looking at doing something similar for a nonprofit. Got an IP camera, webcam, and this would be professional. We tried some free software and stuff, and it just isn't working for us. It's too slow. There's a big lag, 10 or 20 second lag, which isn't going to work. So we're looking for something more professional, wondering what you could recommend that would stream video where someone could go to the web page and look at the video from IP camera.
Well, Ustream works.
Yeah, but there is.
There's a slight lag.
A slight lag, yeah.
But it's a second.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
You know? Ustream works fine. Are you looking for something event driven or 24/7?
Not quite 24/7. This would be maybe from 11 a.m. to maybe 8 p.m. 7 days a week.
Mm.
You might want to look into a dedicated streaming service. One of my customers uses one. What is it? Tech Works, but I think it's spelled funny.
Now you've got an IP camera.
Yes.
And does it is it one of the ones that actually has a built-in web server of its own?
Yes, it does.
And that's not acceptable?
Well, it's only good for four viewers at a time, and in this case, we could have dozens or maybe even 100 people looking at a time. That's why the professional. Viewing, and I've looked at Livestream and Ustream, and there's another one, Vitmo. I'm not sure if I'm saying it.
Vimeo.
Vimeo. I believe YouTube does it, you know, has a commercial or pro site, but a lot of them look like they're set up for broadcasting. You have to buy some software, and you look like you develop videos with their software and with a camera, and then you stream that, you know, kind of like on demand. Well, this would be a live.
And that's kind of what Nick is doing right now with Hangouts On Air. He's taking his Hangout and feeding it to YouTube. I'm doing the Ustream video and feeding it to Ustream for watching it there. We're just using the website software for that.
Okay.
Right.
And, you know, this would be maybe 6-8 hours a day, and there'd probably be a charge for that. I don't know, maybe. Some of the ones I've looked at are maybe around $100 a month.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, Ustream just changed their storage policy. They used to give you 10 gigabytes of storage for free. Now they're changing it to 30 days of storage for free.
Okay, I don't think we'll need any storage. This wouldn't be something where people would go back and look at previous.
Yeah.
It would just be live, and then it would just kind of disappear or whatever.
Yeah, Ustream will work with the web broadcaster in a website, or there's an app you can run on Windows or Mac to accept the camera feed. And then there are also professional streaming services. One of my customers uses one called TechWorks, techworks.tv. They have something called the EasyCaster. I'm trying to remember the price on it. The standard one was a couple thousand dollars as a one-time purchase.
Okay.
And then it's a dedicated streaming box that you feed your camera into.
Okay, that was one. There was TalkFuse, and I hadn't come across that when I did a Google search. TechWorks wasn't one of them. Another one was, I don't know if you're familiar with Dacast or Dacast, dacast.com. They've got an online calculator for, you know, depending upon how much information you're streaming, they bill you accordingly.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You can also, one of the things we do is Hangouts On Air. We set up a camera and send a live feed to our YouTube channel. So you can go to our my YouTube channel, Nick Francesco, and see a live feed of the system. It's about 2 seconds back, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, the 2 seconds would work. Maybe we'd try something out, you know, a couple hours a day with that's a Google Hangouts on air?
It's a Google Hangout. Hangout on air. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Okay.
And it's all free.
The Hangout feeds into YouTube.
Right, and the Hangout feeds into YouTube, so you would send people to your YouTube channel, and they could see it from there. Or, of course, you can embed that YouTube cast into your webpage.
Or whatever. Okay.
Now, that has a 4-hour limit, so every 4 hours... you'd have to start a new one.
Oh, okay.
There's also, if you really want to do this less expensively, but on your own, there's a product called IceCast at icecast.org, which is an entire streaming server that's open source. Download it, install it, set it up, do whatever you want with it. It'll stream audio, it'll stream video, it'll do whatever you want to do.
Okay, I hadn't run across that one. I'll check that one out, too.
Yeah, you're going to want somebody who can help you.
So that's the software for streaming from the camera that you have.
Right.
Okay.
And then that works with Ices, with Oddcast, with Edcast, with Muse, with Dark Ice, with Sam 2, yeah. With Easy Stream.
So there's basically...
different products.
Yeah, there's two halves to this. The software to capture the video from your camera and then send it to a streaming service, and that service then handles the inbound connection. So if you have enough bandwidth yourself, you can receive the inbound connections yourself, but sending it to something like YouTube or Ustream, where they can handle the thousands of simultaneous connections, that's usually more efficient.
Yeah, right, we don't have the bandwidth ourselves to do more than, you know, maybe half a dozen or so at a time, and it could be much more than that.
Right. So okay. Anyway, those are at least some choices to start with.
Great. Thank you very much. My second question was, I was looking on your site, and I noticed you changed things, and I was looking for the weekly, you know, links to sites heard, you know, sites mentioned on the show. You had something, you know, if you mentioned a site like this, icecast.org, you could go to your webpage and just click on the link, and it would automatically take you there.
Those are all right there on the front page. Each one of those little stories is what they look like now.
Oh, stories. Okay.
But those are the links.
That's mentioned.
Yeah, so if you went there right now, the top one would be icecast.org. Steve just put that up.
Okay, because I got an older page. I see Thingiverse. I see Shapeways. And
yeah, hit refresh.
Oh, okay.
That was last week's.
And you'll see IceCast.
That's last week's. All
right. Torx.tv, Blender Project. So Steve is putting them up in real time. So
okay.
Keep refreshing, and you'll see the latest links.
But if I want to go back, say, something that was mentioned a couple of weeks ago.
You can do that as well, because you can, if you go down on the right-hand side.
It's just next page.
No. There's an easy way to do this. Okay. If you go down the right-hand side of the page, probably below you'll have to scroll to see it. You'll see categories of posts. And if you select that box, one of the choices is links you heard on the show. And that will just give you a list of all those stories.
Okay, yeah, it's right above old stuff.
You
okay.
Got it.
Yes, now I see it, yeah.
There you go.
Okay, in my Chrome, yeah, it's not quite a link that wasn't obvious. I'm using the Linux with Chrome, and it kind of half cut it off.
It half cuts off the back end. Yeah.
Depends on how big your font is.
Great. Thank you.
Right, thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned. We're going to have a contest back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I wanted to say we were talking earlier. John from Hilton was talking about streaming video and how, you know, buffering and all that other nonsense. There's a great product called... a little program called YouTube-DL. You give it, and it runs under Python, so you have to have a Python interpreter on your machine, but there are Python interpreters for the Mac and for Windows as well as for Unix. It's a public domain product, and what you do is you say YouTube-DL, space and the URL of the thing, and it downloads it in the background, turns it into an MP4, so you can play it with pretty much anything. And what that means is, if you're on a very slow connection, like I am, instead of living with buffering constantly, I can download it and view it.
Yep.
Time out. I hear that, you know, you guys sitting there talking, and what flashes back in my mind is, say, going back maybe, 12, 15 years ago.
Sure.
When you had to rent conference rooms.
Sure.
Yep.
Sit in the middle of there in front of this big screen.
Multi-million dollars.
Rent the time. Yes. Yeah. Rent this time. And here we're only talking 1 and 2 second delays, and they're going, well, I don't know if that's acceptable. Back then.
Oh, no, on mine, you can actually lose the stream.
Well, back then, though.
On my provider.
I mean, a good connection was, 10 and 15 second delays.
Right.
That you'd see somebody, and all of a sudden it would catch up. It was so far out of whack that now we sit there and say, I don't know, a couple of seconds.
I know, I realize that. I do realize that.
But no, I have to reel this back, you know, every so often, because folks forget. We're so used to instant gratification now.
I know. Instant gratification isn't fast enough any longer.
Exactly. You got it there in your hand.
We should know what we want before we want it.
That's right. Well, there's Google now.
Yeah, there it goes. You know, it already knows. It's anticipating. Like you were saying, your drive home, it's already telling you, all right, if you're going to do this, here's how long it's going to take you to do that.
Right. I've always said I don't need a personal assistant. I need a mother. You know, honey. You have to go do this.
You got
tonight.
One. You got a wife.
Yeah, well, I got a wife. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right, back to the phones before I get myself in even more trouble. Our next caller is Joe from
Tawaga.
Tawaga, New York.
Hey, Joe, what's up? What do you know?
Well, let's see. You asked to call in about Google Now. I have a Nexus 7, like you two folks do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Steve, do you have a Nexus 7?
No, I've gone with the iPads. My wife has a Nook that I cyanamodded into an Android tablet.
He's on the dark side.
And I don't know. I find Google Now a little inconsistent, personally. Then again, I don't use it for a whole lot. I use it for keeping track of sports scores and weather. And that's all the cards I really have on there. The weather card, well, it's okay. It usually differs by a couple degrees from the National Weather Service, which I'm only a few kilometers away from the National Weather Service office in Buffalo here. As far as the sports cards go, I'll be looking at it during a Sabres game, for example, and it won't appear. And I'll wait for several hours after the game, and, oh, gee, it tells me the final score. And sometimes in the middle of the game, it'll show, oh, you're in the second period, and it's, you know, 2-1. The Maple Leafs are winning.
Right. Here's the problem with that, of course. It's contractual. If a game is sold out, it's one set of rules. If a game is not sold out, it's another set of rules. That's not Google making those rules.
That's
the sports organization. Yeah. That's the league making those rules. So
that's a big thing with football too. The Bills games will often get blacked out here because the stadium didn't sell out. And I've often heard that the NFL should change the rule to be the capacity of the smallest stadium in the league, just because Buffalo has such a huge stadium and the weather's so crappy around here, it doesn't sell out very often in the winter.
Right, but that's the problem there. Particularly with sports stuff. It's blackout rules, essentially, that are causing that to happen.
It's a bit limited in the teams, too. Yeah, I'd love to follow the Bison, but forget that. You know, probably the same with the Rochester Americans and the Red Wings.
Because I don't follow those teams, but I suspect that as time goes on, they will be adding more and more scores and more stuff. So
And they may even have their own app.
Right, and in addition, do you tend to look at them online a lot?
You mean like in a web browser? No, not particularly.
See, that's how Google learns, right? If you are using Google Chrome and constantly going to the Sabres site, you may start seeing Sabres cards.
Oh, well, No, my preferred browser is Dolphin because it has the.
Well, then there you are. That's there's part of your problem right there.
Oh boy!
You know, Google only learns from what it can learn from. You may be able to add a card for the Dolphins, but for the Dolphins or for the Amherst or whoever. But the thing is, the way Google learns things automatically, obviously, it's coming through their browsers. Apple's not going to share information with them. The Dolphin people aren't sharing information with them. So unless you're logged in as a Google user, Google can't really. They're not magic. They're not. You know, everybody complains that they're doing horrible things and stealing our data. Well, if you're not in the Google browser, they can't even get at you. So that's how that works.
Yeah, but I guess they seeded it with a list of some of the teams. You know, if they're
four
or five leagues,
right? There's at some point when you were say logged on to Google Plus or wherever you were that they somehow associated you with whatever those teams are, and now you're getting those.
I also think the Google Sound Search is just I know a bit of programming. I know a bit of how digital audio works, and it blows my mind that it can just from playing on a limited bandwidth radio, pocket radio, it can figure out that's the song that's playing. It's like how the heck does it do that?
Here's the thing: the more you know, the more it's magic. You know, when I show something like that to my wife, she goes, "Yeah, well, they should be able to do that." But when someone who really knows how it's done sees that, they go, "Why the hell did that happen?"
Well, the one limitation of Google Sound Search in particular is it has to be in their catalog for it to recognize it,
right,
which is kind of understandable. But you're pretty much limited to whatever Google Play carries. Now,
right.
I found another program called SoundHound, which does a similar sort of thing. And it seems to recognize more. It must be the databases that it's accessing to figure out.
It's got bigger
what
databases, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the AHL does have an app for iOS, Android, and BlackBerry, where you can keep up with hockey on all the teams too. So a lot of times, instead of going to websites or whatnot, the many companies have put apps together for them.
And really, the easiest way to do all of this is go into Google Play or the App Store and just type in your favorite sport and start looking through the list of apps. I will guarantee you, your league has an app.
If not your team.
If not your team directly, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You could maybe look for the International League, and that would cover the Red Wings and the Bison. Sure.
There you go.
I don't know about these add-ons that download YouTube videos. Don't get me wrong. I really like them. I, in particular, have a user script which does that, which adds a widget to the page where it allows you to download it with your browser.
Yep.
But I was looking through the terms of service the other day, and they only want you to use their specific player. It's like, I see all these things out. It's like, it doesn't really, it's against the rules, you know?
Well, the download YouTube DL is an open source app, and you download it as an MP4, play it whatever you want.
Yeah, I use website.
Oh, you mean YouTube wants you to use their player?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, in their terms of service, it's you. If you are going to access the service, you're supposed to use the HTML Flash.
That's why YouTube,
or the Flash.
YouTube itself has made it difficult to download videos. That's why all these other companies have popped up.
Well, and that's I tend to do that when I can. So when I'm at RIT or out somewhere else, I absolutely will do that. But at home, I don't really have a choice because I can't. It buffers and then dies.
What happened? You used to have such good connectivity where you live, Nick.
I did. Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
You got more neighbors signed up. So all of
your
switch
digital TV used to work fairly well too, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
So all of your neighbors must have switched to your provider. If you switch to another one, that will be really fast until they all switch back.
Well, I am waiting for green light to hit my neighborhood. Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right.
All right. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you. Everybody has an app these days.
Yep.
Everybody has an app these days. It's kind of amazing. We have, you know, from the days when, wouldn't it be nice if?
Yep.
Now it's just a given. They're out there. Everybody's got them. It's kind of amazing. And I don't see it ending, you know. There isn't a next thing yet, so we'll see. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walt from Greece, New York. Welcome, Walt. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you. I have two questions. Maybe you can answer. My web search hasn't given me a satisfactory answer. We're using Ubuntu 12.04, the long-term support.
Yeah.
I happen to go ahead and take a look at the thumbnails. And I'm looking at it, it's like I have well over 700 of them in just one folder, and I didn't even bother with the other ones. Well, from what I could tell, some of these are old documents that I've thrown away, but yet the thumbnails are there. Now, I know they're small, but why does it keep it?
Just in case you go back.
Well, I'm okay, where are you finding these thumbnails?
I go into my home folder, and it's a dot thumbnails, you know, one of those folders. And so you explode it out, and there's large, and there's small, and there's medium, and then you look in there, and there's tons of them.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I am on exactly the same release, and I don't have a dot thumbnails.
Oh, okay, because I believe that.
So what I'm saying is that may be from some app that you had.
No, well, okay, because they're all like they're pictures of my PDFs, some maps. Documents, like most of them are PDFs.
Is there an indexing feature that indexes your hard drive for you so you can search it faster?
Yeah, there are several of them, but the ones that I've used didn't seem to create a dot thumbnail for me. I don't know. It's certainly a possibility. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if this is just maybe something that they've thrown on, because we would always upgrade from to the next long-term support, and I don't know if that might be vestigial of something older, but as I say, I'm looking at it, well over 700 of them, and it's like, what? You know, and again, of documents that I had before. So, you know, I do, of course, when I look through Nautilus, I look through it, and then I look ahead to expose hidden folders, and that's what it shows up. I got all the dot stuff coming up. Okay.
Yeah, you can certainly delete them. I'm looking at it now. You can delete them. The problem. I'm reading this now. Oh, you're using Nautilus. That's why I'm not using Nautilus. There you go. Yeah, you can just delete them, and then what'll happen is you can actually turn them off. So in Nautilus, which is the file manager,
yes,
right? Edit preferences preview.
Yes.
Choose show thumbnails never.
Okay.
Now that means you never see a thumbnail.
That's fine by me.
All right. So, all right, then you can just turn them off.
Okay, great.
There you go.
Can I just one next question?
Sure.
My wife, we had used OpenOffice before, you know, but then Ubuntu's moved into LibreOffice. She set up a spreadsheet, saved it as a Microsoft one. Everything worked fine. It was it was something like 200 kilobytes or so.
Yep.
Once we turned over to LibreOffice, she went to the file, made one change, went to save it as the Microsoft document, and it blew up to something like 10 to 15 times the size it was. Do you have any idea what the heck might have happened?
It's Microsoft?
No, it was LibreOffice.
Well, it's the Microsoft file format.
Yeah, no, I don't know, and I'm sorry.
Fonts. What font did you use?
Oh, could it be fonts?
It may have embedded the font in the document.
She went ahead and made no changes other than to change some numbers in one cell.
Right, but what font was she using?
I think it was Nimbus number 9.
That's not a standard Microsoft font, so it had to embed it in the document so the person at the other end could see it in the same font she used.
I'd have to actually look at the actual file.
Try switching to Arial, which is sort of the common font all platforms have.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave, Steve, Nick, you, Soundbites, Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 47 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
I suffer from CRS. What can I say? I didn't realize
yes,
it.
Yes, you clearly do.
That Alzheimer's had ran twice.
Craft. We're going to take another call, and then we're going to do our contest again. So, James from Rochester, what's up?
Yeah, I have a question for you. When I go to the different news sites, like CNN or Channel 10, how come the video, like with a company and a story, works on some and other sites it doesn't?
Sometimes it's different video players. One site might use Flash, another site might use QuickTime, another site might use Windows Media Player.
Is there a way to coordinate those so they all work?
You have to download all the players.
All of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, because on one site it would work. How would I know what's supposed to be on that particular site, what program they use?
It should tell you on that site somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes there's a button that says video not working, click here.
Uh-huh.
Or just make sure that you download all three of the major players. The Flash.
What are the three of them?
Adobe Flash, which you download from Adobe.
Yep.
Apple QuickTime, which you download from Apple. And then Windows Media Player, which is built into Windows, or you download that for the Mac.
Okay, I'll check the three of them.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right,
time. And the answer was Robot Chicken.
What was the question?
During the break, we were talking about Starbucks.
Oh, it was Robot Chicken. Okay. I watched that last night. It always makes me laugh.
Oh, boy.
All right. It's time for a contest. Here's the way the contest works. Our friends at Frag Repairs are giving away a certificate good for one PC cleanup. They're located at 1472 Monroe Avenue. Certificates are valid for 6 months. If you've won anything from the station in the last 30 days, please sit on your thumbs and let somebody else win. We will take caller number 5. Ready? Oh, maybe I should give the number 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Caller number 5, go! And while, what am I waiting for? I should talk while you're answering the phone. There's an idea. That's probably
that good works.
Good airplay. Again, we want to thank our friends at Frag Computers. It's great that they are supporting this show. We're very pleased with that. And we're particularly pleased that they're doing this terrific thing with having this contest here. We have a winner. You can stop calling now. Unless, of course, you've got an actual question. I don't even know if we have time for that anymore. But the reality is that our friends at Frag Computers will let you get one free PC cleanup with this coupon. And they're at 1472 Monroe Avenue. I suddenly realized I can't read from the sheet because Steve is writing on the sheet. 1472 Monroe Avenue.
A little difficult.
Bring your computer into them. They'll do a quick PC cleanup on it for free with this coupon.
Mm-hmm.
The coupon is valid for 6 months. So my suggestion would be to give them a call and set up a time.
But you do have to bring it in. They do not come out and do house calls.
Right, right, right. This is a bring it in thing.
Yep.
And it's free. So how hard is that? I think it's a great thing. It's something that most people should do regularly. Clean up your machines every once in a while. I moved a bunch of stuff around, but that's not the same kind of cleanup.
Right. No,
but I'm on Linux, so it's a different. It's
and the other thing,
different.
Too, is while they have it open, if they have to open up, we used to always, you know, blow them on out, too.
Right, exactly. It's more than just the physical thing. So congratulations to Tom. Well done, Tom. You'll get your certificate and be able to take it in for cleaning. Like I said, that certificate is good for 6 months. So, again, special thanks to our friends at Frag Computers. Always love to see people supporting our underwriters. Our next caller, Mark from Greece. What's up, Mark?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not so much a question, just a suggestion for the gentleman who called about the sports scores and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I found a great one in the Play Store called The Score. It's got everything in it, from Canadian football to American football to soccer to NASCAR to Formula One to golf to women's tennis, you name it, it's in there.
Nice.
And
now,
when
is
you
it...
set it up, you tell it what your favorite things are, and it keeps track of that on top of everything else.
So it's available in the Play Store.
Yep.
So you'll be able to get it's called The Score,
the
simple
score.
Enough. All one word.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty dang cool. Do you know if it does real-time scores or if it's...
There's a delay I've noticed of maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
it gets posted, but it's pretty quick. And you can bounce it, you know, down and
right.
it refreshes the screen. So depending on if you want to keep bouncing it, sometimes you can get it to come up quicker than if you wait it. Wait for the program to do it.
Right.
So, but it's an awesome app. It's got, I mean, you name it, it's got it in there. So if he's looking for something that's relatively quick and free.
It's got acronyms for sports I've never heard of before. IIHF. WJHC. EPI. So
I can't think of anything
you know
clean
what it is.
To say
it's,
about
yeah, it's like dodgeball on ESPN8, the Ocho.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I found so much in here that I didn't even know I could track.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So I just wanted to suggest that out. Maybe he'll like it. And like I said, it's free. So
yep, nice.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That's a
You're welcome.
That's a great find.
Yep.
That's terrific. We're always delighted to see cool new things from the App Store. And there are millions of apps.
Literally millions of apps now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In both the App Store and in the Play Store. So you can generally find something you like. And
yeah, if you can't, then chances are it doesn't exist. I mean...
You can't keep up, you know?
It used
to be I could browse through the new stuff. You know, not anymore.
It's every hour there's something new.
Every minute there's something new.
It looks like they also have a Apple version, too, an iTunes version.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of people go with things like App Brain and stuff like that. You follow certain people, see what they like, and that gives you some idea of cool new things for you. Of course...
Or look at the heavy hitters off the list, too.
That's right. And, of course, the first... Thursday of every month is the Rochester Googles. Is the Rochester Googles user group, and we talk about apps there. I'm sure the second Wednesday of the month, you guys talk about apps at the Apple Cider meeting.
And App Rochester is specifically about
and
apps.
And I was about to say that. And then if you just want apps, it's App Rochester. So there's a little bit of everything for everybody as we go along. That music tells me that we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I apologize to those to whom we did not get. You need to use the Chicago style of calling. Call earlier and often. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Listen, do not go away because George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week long. And Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so no real worries that he's going to get too crazy. Look, we've tied him down. You don't want to know. But we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's 55 minutes after the hour, and we are Sound Bites on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1.